Have you ever had broken dreams, broken hopes, shattered hopes? Like, you know, we all go through times that, you know, you feel disappointed. You feel disillusioned at one time. You feel like, man, like, that's not really what I expected. Like, things are not going the way I wanted them. If that's you, I mean, I have gone through that. You know, preachers, we're not exempt to things like that. You know, discouragement hits, and it's like, wow. You know, we all go through those storms in life. Because, you know, the reason that I asked you that question, because you go through the Bible, there's a man named Peter. He went through the same exact things that we go through in life. The hope he had, it would just became hopeless. These dreams that he had, or this kingdom, it was just like an illusion. It was just like everything just like puffed up. It's like, man, what are we going to do now? You see, Peter, you know Peter. We talked about him. He made a promise to Jesus one time. Right? Towards the end of Jesus' ministry, Peter made a promise to him. Said, Lord, if anybody abandons you, I will never leave you. And Jesus looks to Peter and said, really? You know, have you ever made promises like that, that you know at the end of the day you ended up breaking them, you could not keep them? I think that's Peter, because he made that promise to Jesus, and Jesus said, you know, I tell you the truth, Peter, today before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter didn't agree with that, and he didn't think he was going to do it. But you see, we just had what we call Easter. We went through the whole idea of what Easter is all about, the resurrection. We talked about that for the apostles of Jesus, they thought that everything about Jesus ended when he died. I mean, they saw, I mean, the hopes they have for the kingdom of God and the kingdom, to restore the kingdom to Israel, that hope was shattered by a cross that Friday morning. See, that Friday when Peter is following Jesus, you know, because he's being taken to the authorities, he didn't understand. He's like, what's going on? This is not what's supposed. Things are not supposed to develop like this. This is not how things should be going. Jesus was killed, and all the expectations that the apostles had about Jesus were just like shattered that day. And you wonder, I think the apostles have more questions than answers now. It's like, so what's going to happen to the kingdom of God? This man's been teaching us for about 3 years about this kingdom of God. And he's dead. What's going to happen? And you can tell, I mean, they were just hiding because they realized they killed our leader. We are next. And they went undercover. The apostles, I mean, you know, and to me, it's like, I just don't understand some of the things that I read sometimes, because Jesus told them that he was going to die and resurrect. And then they, remember, they missed the whole resurrection talk with Jesus because they thought, no, the Messiah is not supposed to die. Now they see the cross. Jesus is gone. So that Saturday must have been really painful for the apostles. Saddened. They didn't know what to do. We thought that he was going to be the one, but he's not. It's Sunday. You see, sometimes when we talk about the resurrection, check this out. I just discovered that as I was preparing the sermon. We talk about the resurrection. We think like Friday was bad, but everything changed on Sunday. No, it didn't. For us, it did. When you go through the apostles, Sunday, where are they? They're still behind locked doors. Sunday came. Jesus was already, the news already being spreading. He's alive. And it's like, remember, one of them said, I will not believe until I touch him. So we think like Sunday changed everything. No, it didn't. Apparently for the apostles, it didn't change much. Because, and that's what I cannot even fathom into my brain. Like, I mean, some of you guys already seen Jesus. He's alive. He ate with you and you still don't know what to do. You still doubt. I mean, week after week, the Bible tells us that Jesus appeared to them for about 40 days. He was appearing and showing them evidence that I'm alive. And they're still behind doors. They're afraid. What happened? That's why when I was preaching last week, talking to you about that the gospel message is all about Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection. But not just the resurrection, that they saw him. It wasn't that somebody told them that they saw. No, they got to eat with Jesus. They got to see Jesus. And then we come to the Gospel of John. This is what hit me when I was reading that. John 21, it says, if you got your Bibles, go there, 21, verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared again. That word, Jesus appeared again to his disciples. And to me, it's like, you guys have seen him, and what are you doing? They're still like afraid. That's what, like, what's going on? I mean, don't you guys know what you need to do next? I mean, like, they still, like, they had no idea. Jesus appeared again to them. Now you're going to find out that this is like the third time that Jesus appeared to them. And they don't find courage. They're just intimidated. See, Jesus, that's why every time he appeared to them, he would use the phrase, peace be with you. And at one time he says, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. They were not at peace. The apostles, like, they were in turmoil, and they were like, a storm was raging through their hearts, through their minds. They didn't know what to make of Jesus' appearances. And Jesus would come in their midst, like, peace be with you. Come, examine the evidence. I'm here. And he would eat in their presence. The reason I'm telling you the story, because I just don't understand what Peter's doing. Especially according to the Gospel of John 21, this is what's going on. John, the writer, one of the apostles, says, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, that's Thomas, the twin, he's the one that did not believe in Jesus even after he resurrected. Thomas was there. Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, which is James and John. Those are the sons of Zebedee. They were fishermen. And two other disciples. So we had like seven disciples are here. Now, verse 3 says, I'm going out fishing, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we're going with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood by the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. I just want to pause for a moment. Because this is the issue that I have. This is the problem that I have. Jesus Christ resurrected. They see him. And they're going fishing. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But it's like, Jesus Christ is alive. We say, oh, you know, he's alive. We sing. And you're going fishing. Yeah, you're going fishing. I mean, Peter, the main leader, mind you, the main leader, the one that Jesus said in Matthew 16, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, and upon this rock I will build my church. He said, I'm going fishing. And it's like, again, Jesus appeared to them, and that's what you're going to do? You're going fishing? The reason that I'm bringing that up is because, you know, Peter and John and James, the sons of Zebedee, and Andrew, they were fishermen. The majority of the apostles of Jesus, the majority of the disciples, they were fishermen. That's what they knew. What Peter is doing here when he says, I'm going fishing, you know what he's saying? I'm going back to the familiar. I'm going back to what I know. But there's a problem with that, going back to what you know and to the familiar. Because let me tell you, Peter stopped fishing the moment Jesus called him. Remember, you go back, Jesus came by the sea, they were fishermen, he said, follow me. They dropped their nets, John and James forgot about their dad. They left old Zebedee with the nets and the fish, and they just left everything behind to follow Jesus. Jesus said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And then Jesus resurrected, and you're going back to fishing? You know what I'm talking about? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. You already seen the Lord. The Lord called you from being fishermen. He said, I'm going to teach you to fish for men. Let me suggest, this is the problem that I have here. Let me suggest to you, it's been about 3 years that Peter did not touch a fishing net. Because you look at the story of Jesus, he equipped them to go and preach. He enabled them to preach, and they will go by two and two and preach the kingdom of God to other people. And now that Jesus died, he resurrected, Peter says, please, hear me out here. He's not like, hey, let's go fishing. The tone that I sense Peter saying, you know what? I'm going fishing. And then the other side, we're going with you, Peter. And now it's like they all go fishing. And it's like deja vu right here, because guess what happens? All night they did not catch anything. Sounds familiar. Like about 3 years ago, you were doing the same scenario and somebody came by the boat and said, hey, friends, you got anything? Did you catch anything? No. And then he said, throw the net on the right side of the boat. And then Peter said back then, well, because you say, let's do it. And they caught a huge catch of fish. deja vu against, because our text says that they were fishing all night. You know how frustrating it is? That's one of the things I don't like about fishing, because if I go fishing and the fish are not biting, Alex can tell you, I was like, let's change spot, let's move. All night. And the text says that early in the morning, so they were there all night, nothing, Alex, no fish. I mean, we're talking about expert fishermen. Well, apparently the fish are not biting today in the Galilean Sea. And then all of a sudden, you know, at the dawn of the day, this man is on the shore, and he's calling. It says it was Jesus, but they did not recognize. Because again, what are you doing? The Son of Man is alive, and we sing, hey, he's alive. And you go fishing? You go something that you haven't done in a while? I mean, he called you from that. And you go back to what you know, because it's more familiar. It's not challenging. This is what you know. This is what they knew. Then he says, early in the morning, Jesus, verse 4, stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, have you caught anything? Have any fish? And they say, no. And then he says, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. If you look back to the story of Matthew, about Matthew chapter 4, it's almost like the same story. Like, I guarantee you, Peter and John's like, this looks familiar. It's like about 3 years ago, we didn't catch anything. This man calls us and told us to do that, and we did it, and we caught fish. And now Jesus comes. It's like deja vu right here. So when they did what Jesus told them to do, they were unable to hold the net in because of the large number of fish. Now, John, he says, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Someone's like, oh boy, we're in trouble now. No, but it's the Lord that's on the seashore right there. It's the Lord that is on the beach. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Interesting. Early in the morning, they were fishing all night. They didn't catch anything. This man told them to throw the net on the right side of the boat. They did it, and now they cannot even pull the net in because so many fish. It tells you like 153 large fish that they caught that day. John, I think it's the Lord. John always tends to recognize Jesus. Remember when he was walking on water? Who said, I think it's the Lord? John. That's the one who's writing the gospel, and he's the one that the Bible calls the beloved disciple of Jesus. So he said, it's the Lord. Peter he was just like without shirt. He wraps himself with the garment, throws himself into the water, and he's helping the apostles with the boat and the net full of fish. By the time they reach shore, there's already a fire going on. Jesus already prepared breakfast for them. Okay, you know how it is. Sometimes we like to have conversation at breakfast time. It's like, there is Jesus already prepared breakfast. By the time they reach, you've been fishing all night, you're tired. Look at what the Son of God is doing for them. So they come, and look at what the story is. Verse 10, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. And I love this. None of the disciples dare ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This is the text right here. This is the verse. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Three times, and you go fishing? Three times. I mean, Jesus appeared to you for three times, and he finds you doing what? Now his work, you went fishing because that's what you knew to do. You went to what you knew. You went to that which he got you from. I'm going fishing. It's like, you see, sometimes we find ourselves doing things that, really, that's not what God called us to do. What if he shows up and it's like, that's what you're doing? It's like, and then he has to fix breakfast so that we can have a conversation with him. You know, it's like, John said, this is now the third time that Jesus appeared to them. They saw him for three times, twice they've seen it, and now this is the third time. And where were they at? Fishing. Now, please don't, I'm not saying fishing is wrong. Please don't go home and say, this preacher in Staten Island, he doesn't like fishing. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, Jesus called those apostles from being fishermen, and he gave them a task to be missionaries, and they abandoned to be missionaries and went back to fishing. That's what the problem lies. Jesus already, it's like, I came to see you guys were doing the job that I told you to do. No, you went back fishing. That's when it becomes a problem. It's a great thing, but if that's not what God calls you to do, then you had to have breakfast with Jesus and talk about that. So they have breakfast, and I sense the silence. Like nobody, I mean, they says nobody dare ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And I mean, Jesus is just fixing them, you know, fish and bread, and they eating. And then Jesus now singled out Simon Peter. Look what happens. Then when they have finished eating, okay, let's talk about this after you guys have a full belly. After they have finished eating, verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, some translations say, Simon, son of Jonah, do you truly love me more than these? Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than all these fish you caught? Do you truly love me more than the other disciples? Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Now, it's interesting. And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Our translations don't captivate really what's going on there. The usage of the word love. When Jesus asked Simon, our NIV has the word truly love me. He had the adverb truly love me. But in the original, the adverb is not even there because the word there is agape. Do you agape me? Do you love me? Agape is the greatest expression of love. That's the love described to talk about God. Agape means sacrificially. It means commitment. It means that, you know, it's the love that never runs out. When Jesus said, do you love me? It involves faithfulness. It's an act of the will. This is the love that is described in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It never runs, you know, it doesn't boast. And love never ends. I mean, Jesus is saying to Peter, do you love me with this type of love? With sacrificial, with commitment, with faithfulness? Do you love me like this, Peter? And they say, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. The word that Peter used is the word phileo. Phileo, you know, you got Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. Philosophy, loving wisdom. It's the word for like when you're, the equivalent will be the word like. It's like Jesus said to Peter, you love me? He said, yeah, Lord, you know I like you. You're a good people. You're fun to be around, Lord. So this expression of love that that Peter replied to Jesus is more like, he's talking about, but yes, I'm fond of you. You're warm to be around. It's nice to be around you. That's the type of, it's called brotherly love, or the love that you have for a friend, which is not the same that you will have for husband or wife or for your parents. It's a brotherly love that I have. But that's not what Jesus asked Peter. Simon, after breakfast, says, son of John, do you love me with the agape way? Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I love you the phileo way. I love you, but not necessarily with commitment. I love you, not necessarily sacrificially. I love you, not necessarily faithfully. I love you because you're nice. I mean, I love spending time with you. You're nice to be around. That's the love that you might have. Like some people, like, they're nice to be around, but you love them that way, but not necessarily that you will die for them. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you will not sacrifice everything for them. I mean, they're almost like an acquaintance for you. But then nonetheless, Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs. You see, that was the mission. When Jesus called Peter, when he was fishing, he called him to, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You're going to go and tell people about me. And now Jesus comes and said, Peter, Simon, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Say, feed my lambs. In other words, Simon, don't tell me that you love me. show it to me. How was Peter to show Jesus that he loved him? By taking care of his sheep. By taking care of Jesus' lambs. And then again, second time, Jesus asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you truly love me? And then he answered in verse 16, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And those two times, Jesus said, do you love me the agape way? And Peter says, yes, I love you the phileo way. I love you more like a friend, like an acquaintance. Then Jesus again said, okay, you love me, take care of my sheep. And then the third time, Jesus said to them, and now in the third time, we don't capture this. In the third time, Jesus uses Peter's word for love. In the third time, verse 17, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you even love me as a friend? Do you even like me, man? Simon, son of John, do you love me not necessarily sacrificially or faithfully? Do you love me even, you know, because I'm fun to be around and it's warm. You know, we have this relationship. It's warm to be around each other. Do you love me like that? And now it says that Peter was hurt by Jesus because Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? Do you even love me like that? Like you said, you love me like a friend. Do you even love me like that, Peter? And then he was saying this. And then he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. You know that I love you as a friend like that. Never once Peter used the word agape to talk about loving Jesus. You know that I love you like that. Now, a lot of people will go into speculation and say, why did Jesus ask Peter three times? Maybe because he denied him three times. Three times Peter was asked, do you know Jesus? I never know the man. He even swore and cursed himself that I don't know Jesus. And you see, Peter was so devastated because later on when he realized that Friday evening, Thursday evening, Friday morning, he realized what he has done. He said, the Bible says that he wept bitterly because he denied Jesus. And Jesus died, and Peter never had a chance to tell him, I'm sorry, man. You were right. I denied. I didn't fulfill my promise to never abandon you. I denied you. And no wonder Peter said, I'm going fishing. This is over. And it's almost like Jesus, the Son of God, comes along by the shore to tell you, Peter, it ain't over yet. Feed my sheep. Even though you deny me, I still forgive you. Go. You got a job to do. You got a task to accomplish. Come on, Peter. And it's almost like he could not believe. And yeah, three times he asked him, feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. Be the shepherd of my people, Peter. That's what I call you to do. I resurrected from the dead, and that's what I expected to find you doing. you went fishing. That's what, you love me? Do you truly love me, Peter? Show it to me by taking care of my sheep. Don't just tell me that you see, love is not just saying. You got to show it. I mean, I had a friend that said to me one time, older, he was 70-something. We used to call him the Reverend, one of the elders of the church, or the church that we used to be minister in. He said to me, you know, my father never told me that he loved me. And then he said, but he didn't have to. You see, sometimes you don't tell people, like, my father, growing up, he never told us, like I tell my kid, I love you. But my father never had to tell us that for us to know that we're loved by him, because everything that he did, we knew exactly because he loved us that much. So you see, sometimes people, oh, I love you. It's like, Peter, do you love me more than this? Yes, I love you. Jesus said, don't just say it to me, man. Show it to me. How? Feed my sheep. Take care of what I told you to take care of, man. That's how you know, that's how you show me that you love me. That's your responsibility, Peter. So, and it's interesting because he said, whether you love me with the agape way or whether you love me as a friend, do you really love me as a friend? Then take care of my sheep anyways. He said, feed my sheep, he said. You see, Peter said he loved Jesus, and Jesus was asking him to show him truly how he loved him. And Peter would demonstrate Jesus' love. Peter would demonstrate his love towards Jesus by taking care of Jesus' sheep. Now, I think it was C.S. Lewis, he says that, you know, when we talk about the love of God, many of us understand that. There's no problem. We understand how much he loves us. The problem we fall into in church and in some other areas is that we say we love God, but we don't know how much we love him, really. You know, we don't question his love, but sometimes we got to question how much really we love God. Because, you know, we say, oh, you know, I love you. Like I have people that say that they love me and I believe him. And, you know, and I can sense the sincerity. Like I know there are people that always, oh, we love you, brother. And it's like, no, I can tell that you're saying it because I see what you do. I mean, it's just like you're telling me that I love me, but like, if you love me, we'd be differing in this area. If you love me, we talk about issues that we probably have. So don't just tell me that you love me. I want to see evidence that you truly love me. You know, husband and wives, and they go, I mean, you know, you say you love your wife, but you never take care of the dishes. You let her do everything in the house. I mean, eventually she's going to come like, I don't know how much he loves me because I feel like I'm here by myself. Because she expects you to show her really how maybe you put gas in the car for her a little bit. Or, you know, you took care of some other things. Love does something. That's what Jesus said to Peter, show me that you truly love me. Take care of my sheep. I left you all the sheep to you, Peter. And I come here, and what are you doing? You're fishing? Take care of my lambs. Take care of my sheep. God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still filthy sinners, Christ died for us. That's how he demonstrated. The question will come to us, how do we demonstrate God that we love him? Have you ever thought about how do we show people that we love God? It's simple. Jesus said this in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. How you show Jesus that you love him today? He said, anybody who loves me will keep my commandments. How do we show Jesus that we love him? By keeping his teaching, that we don't divert from what he told us to do, that we don't try to manipulate his word, that we just do exactly what he tells us to do. That's how you show him that you love him. He says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. You will do what I'm asking you to do. You will not try to change it because it might become offensive in some of the things and you want to change it. You want to make it more palatable for people. And it's like, just say, just do what I'm telling you. If you love me, you know how it is. Like, you know, people that go into the army, they have some people in charge of them. And the moment they violate any of those laws, what happened to them? They send them home. Because the commander in chief gave you an order, and you think like, well, you know, in this case, I'm going to go with my, later on they go through trials. Like, oh, you went and violate, you out, you know. So Jesus already gave people commands and things, his teachings. If you love me, you will obey what I'm teaching you, he said. So that's how you and I show Jesus that we love him. So Peter should have shown Jesus how he loved him by doing exactly what Jesus told him to do about 3 years before Jesus appeared by the sea. And he was fishing. Jesus told him, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And Peter began walking with Jesus and preaching the gospel, the kingdom of God. And he stopped even after the resurrection. And Jesus had to come back to reinstate him. And then the question was, do you love me, Peter? But yes, Lord, you know that I love. But show it to me, man. I told you. So imagine if Jesus came and told us that today. So how do you and I show God that we love him? The Bible says also that we show God that we love him by loving one another. I mean, the same writer, John, later on, many years later, he writes to a church and he says, how can you say that you love God when you hate your brother? He said, that's a contradiction. You cannot love God whom you have not seen when you hate your brother and you see him every day. So how do you and I show God that we love him? When we love one another. That's what Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. And by this all men will know that you are truly my disciples when you love one another. But you know, we fight all the time. And people, you know, it's like, but even when you have conflicts with one another, that the love is still there. You know, it's like, you gotta show God that you love him by loving our people. That's why I always tell people, you cannot just do Jesus and you by yourself. You need the church. In order for you to do the one another's, you need all the people around you. You cannot do any of those one another's by yourself. In fact, there's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christians. And even the Lone Ranger had a friend. So it's like, I know people that they think they can do Jesus on Facebook over there, you know, all by themselves, and they're loving Jesus. And Jesus said, you're going to love me? Love people. That's how you show the world that you love me, when you love those around. I mean, Jesus, I mean, he taught some crazy things. He says, love your enemies. We having even trouble loving our brothers and sisters rather than our enemies. And it's like, whoa. But that's exactly what he's calling us to do. And he said, do you love me? Do you truly love me? Take care of that. Do exactly what I'm telling you. Follow my commands, my teachings. Do you truly love me? Show me by loving other people. It's almost like people see the love that they might. I mean, I admire this church. I mean, a lot of people come here and they sense the warmth and the love. And I always say, keep doing that. Keep doing that. You know, because we have people in our own midst that they're hard to love. Honestly speaking. There's some people that are harder to love than others because of what they do. And there are people that might have a tough time loving me because of how I am. And, but nonetheless, like you, there are others that are easy to love. God calls us to love even those ones that are tough to love at times. Even those ones sometimes you want to wring their necks. He's calling us to love. This is why I didn't want to be a minister in the first place. Because I'm a preacher's kid. My dad's been a preacher in the DR, in the Dominican, for so long. And I saw what he went through. And I used to say, if that happens to me, when people start talking trash behind my back, I don't know that I can do that. And I always say, be careful what you say you can't, that you don't know that you would do it or that you don't want to do it. God called me to ministry. And now when people talk trash about my back, I don't care. Because I realize they're talking trash. It's God's the one deal with them. You know, but it's like my job is to feed God's sheep, to continue preaching and teaching people so that they continue to be better disciples. That's my task that he has appointed me. And I'd be loving God by doing that. If I stop doing that, then I'm not loving Jesus the way that he told me to love him. So you want to love God? Do exactly what he's telling us in his word. You truly love God? Love your brothers and sisters in Christ. So let me just give you this question. When Jesus came today, he invited you to breakfast. And he said to you, do you love me more than fill in the blanks? Whatever it is that you're loving more than Jesus. Do you truly love me more than these? My jobs, even my own family, my computer, my TV, this program that's taking all the time. Do you love me more than these? Jesus said, whatever these might be for you, why would you respond to Jesus? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you like this, or truly? I mean, if he came today to ask you that question, because he realizes, man, they say they're loving me, but they're not. If he were to ask you, do you truly love me sacrificially? Do you truly love me with commitment? Do you truly love me? I mean, it's an act of the will. Do you truly love me like this? Faithfully. What would you say to him?